This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Hi, and welcome to today's edition of Covenant Living Today. Today on our broadcast, our message is Making My Fear Serve Me. Today, I want to start by asking you a question. How many of you here today realize that you are not in control of the circumstances of your life? Anybody know that? Amen. Now, if you didn't agree with me, let me just ask you this. How many of you sitting here today can guarantee that 30 seconds from now, there's going to be a heartbeat in your body? Anybody think you can do that? James says you can't. Amen? James says that if you go about saying, oh, I'm going to do this tomorrow, and I'm going to go here tomorrow, and you think you have the ability to settle it, that that's what's going to happen, you are an arrogant fool. Amen? Amen? Why? Because God did not put the power of tomorrow in our hands. Right. He reserves it unto himself. And so understand, we do not have control over the circumstances of our lives. How many of you have already experienced that things are going to happen in your life that you did not plan and don't even like? Yeah. Amen? Now catch it. What that means is when we have a circumstance that we cannot control and it takes a shape that seems threatening to us, we even as Christians will feel a very natural emotion that God himself built into us. And that emotion is fear. Fear is the natural God-given emotion that we feel when we are faced by circumstances that seem to threaten something that's very valuable to us. And because we cannot always control our circumstances, there will be times when we as Christians are going to experience fear and catch it. That's the way God intended it to be. Because understand, Christians sometimes are reluctant or ashamed to admit it when they experience fear. But you don't need to be ashamed. You don't need to be guilty, because catch it. Fear is a natural emotion given to us by God for a necessary purpose. Oh, now some of you are already going, wait a minute, Pastor. How can you say that fear comes from God? Haven't you ever heard of 2 Timothy 1:7? 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And what about 1 John 4:18? There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. What about that? How can you say that God has given us fear? Well, let's look at those verses for a moment. 2 Timothy 1:7 does not say that God has not given us the emotion of fear. It says he did not give us the spirit of fear. And you know what that's saying? We as Christians should never be walking in fear, never under the control of fear. Our lives should not be controlled by that spirit of fear. But it doesn't say that you as a Christian will never feel fear. In the same way, 1 John 4:18 speaks of he who fears. He who fears, that's on a continuous basis. He is living a life in which fear is controlling his actions. Fear is controlling what he is willing and able to do for God. The Bible does not tell us that we as Christians should never experience fear, because we will. And if you feel the emotion of fear, you do not need to be ashamed or guilty. What the Bible shows us is that God has built into our bodies and our minds that emotion of fear for a specific purpose. Fear is a vehicle designed by God to transport us from a state of being at ease to a state of being alert, prepared, and ready to deal with circumstances that may threaten ourselves, those we love, or what we value most. Fear is a vehicle designed by God to move us from a state of being at ease to a state of being on the alert, a state of being prepared, a state of being ready to deal with circumstances. You know that we just had new heating and air conditioning units installed on the top of this building. Amen? And praise God for that. But let's just take an example here and understand, let me say it up front, this is an illustration, all right? This is like when I hand out $20 bills, this is an illustration, amen? Not real. But you're sitting here at ease. Now suppose you suddenly started hearing cracking and straining noises from up above, and you looked up, and right over where you're sitting, there started to be a big bulge in the ceiling, and it looked like there was a big heavy weight about to break through right over where you're sitting. How many of you would just continue to sit there and listen to this wonderful sermon of pastors? On the other hand, how many of you not only would move, but you'd move faster than you have moved in years? Amen? Now, what is it that would inspire and motivate you to move, to get out from under whatever's coming down through that ceiling? Fear. Fear. Amen. You see, God gave us the emotion of fear to get us ready to deal with adverse and threatening circumstances. He constructed your body and your mind so that you would experience that emotion when you need to get ready to do something to deal with the circumstances of your life. That's why he gave you adrenaline. When you start getting fearful, what happens in your body? That adrenaline starts pumping. Amen? And what does it do? It kind of gives you energy. It hypes you up. You're ready to roll, amen? Your heartbeat goes up. And they call it the fight or flight syndrome. You're ready to do either one. God has built that into us. Fear has a purpose when it is used right. But understand, does anybody here know that for every good gift God gives us, the devil tries to substitute some counterfeit, and that's what he's done with fear. I said before that God built into us the emotion of fear as a vehicle designed to transport us from a state of being at ease to a state of being alert, prepared, and ready. How many of you came in here in a car or a van or some kind of vehicle today? Let me just see. Amen. All right. Praise God. And when you leave here, you're probably going to go back out to your vehicle and drive home. Nothing wrong with that, right? That's the way it's supposed to be. Praise God. But what if instead of using your vehicle to transport you from place to place, you went, took your car, found a back street someplace, parked the car, put some curtains up around the windows, and started living in your car? Now, what would that tell you? Oh, some of you may have been there. But what would that tell you? Your car was never designed to be a living place. Isn't that right? If you are living in your car, number one, you are misusing the car. You're not using it for the purpose for which it was designed. And number two, if you are living out of your car, that tells me that there is something wrong in your life right now. You're not supposed to be living out of your car. Amen? Now catch it. When we don't use the car as the vehicle for transporting us from place to place that it was intended to be, that's a misuse of the purpose of that car. And by the same token, when we, instead of using fear simply to transport us from a state of being at ease to a state of being on the alert, when we begin to live in fear, then we are misusing fear for the purpose that God designed it. Fear has a legitimate purpose, but that purpose is only to get us to the place of being ready to deal with our circumstances. And if we start living in fear, we're doing it on the devil's terms and not on God's terms. Go over to Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 and 2. Look at this. Here's the question I want us to ask as we read this passage. Isaiah 43, verses 1 and 2. When is it that it's okay for God's people to be controlled by fear? Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 and 2. But now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Now let's answer the question. When is it that a Christian should be controlled by fear? Well, it's not when you pass through the waters, because God says, I'll be with you. Amen. It's not even when the river is flowing, because it says it will not overflow you. And catch it. It says it's not even when we have to walk through the fire, because God has promised that if he's with us, if we're walking with him, we won't even be burned when we go through the fire. Isn't that great? So when is it that a Christian should be controlled by fear? Somebody said it. Never. Isn't that right? Never. God gave us fear for a purpose, but fear should never control us. As children of God, catch it, fear is to be our servant and not our master. Fear is to be our servant and not our master. Let's go back to that example that I gave with the ceiling. Suppose you're here and you see that bulge from up above, but it doesn't come where you're sitting. It so happens that your child is sitting on the other side of the church with a friend. And you see that bulge starting to come from up above, and it looks like something's going to fall down right where your child is sitting. And what does your natural fear reaction say? Get away, run away, get out of there. Isn't that right? But how many of you parents think that you might, instead of running away to save yourself, run toward where the bulge is in order to get your child out from under? Anybody think you might do that? Amen. What would be happening? Your fear is saying run, but you have made the decision. I will not be controlled by my fear. There is a higher responsibility, a higher duty that I have, and I will not let fear control me. You see, God gave us fear for a purpose, but that purpose never includes allowing it to control us. Fear is to be our servant and not our master. I hesitated about using the illustration of a bulging roof in our building, because I thought, you know, what if the devil starts working that thought in somebody's mind, you know? And every time they think about coming to church, the devil brings that thought, the roof's going to fall in on you. And you know what I really considered as I thought about that? That would be a prime example of being controlled by a spirit of fear. Isn't that right? To let the devil work that kind of thought into your mind, that would be a prime example of being controlled by a spirit of fear. Now, number one, as I said in the beginning, that was just an illustration. There's nothing wrong with the roof. Amen? Just so everybody knows. Praise God. But number two, here is the thing. You don't want to be controlled by a spirit of fear, and I am not going to be controlled by a spirit of fear, that you will be controlled by a spirit of fear. Amen? I put it in God's hands. God, don't let the devil plant that thought into anybody's mind. I'm trusting him. Why? We are not controlled by a spirit of fear. We have not been given that spirit of fear, but what? Of power and of love and of a sound mind. And that's the way we walk here at Covenant Community Church. We do not walk in fear. We use fear for what is intended, but we do not allow fear to control us. Some of you probably don't know this, and I've told this story many times, but I am basically, at least I was growing up, basically shy. Amen. Shy kind of guy. I was the kind of person that just loved to be alone. Had books, and I would read my books, and I didn't need people. Amen. In fact, truth be told, I didn't much like them. And so I would be walking down the street in my hometown, and I would see somebody I know coming down the street, and I didn't want to have to talk to him. So you know what I would do? I'd go across the street. If I had to, I'd duck in a store. Why? You know what that was? It was fear. It was fear. Fear of, well, I don't know what to say. Fear of, well, you know, if I'm talking to them, I'm going to feel all agitated and everything. I just want to avoid the whole thing. And there came a point in my life when I had to make a decision. God brought it to my mind somehow. I don't even remember how. But he brought me to the point of making this decision. I will never make decisions based on fear. I will never do something because I'm afraid. Or I will never not do something because I'm afraid. I will do it because it's right, or I will not do it because it's right. But I will not make the decision based on the fact that I feel afraid about it. Now, that was a personal choice that I had to make in my life at some point. And you know what I believe? I believe that I would not be standing before you today if I had not made that choice. You see, aren't we afraid of a lot of stuff? Isn't there a lot of stuff going on, a lot of threatening circumstances in our lives that we get afraid of? And guess what? If the devil can do it, he will keep you so wrapped up in your fear that you will never accomplish anything for God. Some of us are going to need to make that decision here today. Amen? Not to be controlled by fear. Well, all of this was just introduction. This is by way of introduction to the passage of scripture that we really want to deal with today, which is 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 through 4. And in that passage, we see the story of a man who learned how to use his fear the way God intended. He learned how to make his fear be his servant instead of his master. Let me read that passage again for us this morning. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 through 4. It happened after this, that the people of Moab, with the people of Ammon, and others with them besides the Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is En Gedi." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. Now we're going to break this passage down today, and as we do, we're going to see three things Jehoshaphat did to make fear his servant rather than his master. And we're going to analyze those things according to an acronym, P-A-S-S. P-A-S-S. Kids, what does P-A-S-S spell? Thank you. Pass. Very good. And to help you remember it, I put it this way. When you feel fear because of the circumstances of your life, you need to pass your fears on to God. You need to pass your fears on to God. Amen? Now, PASS stands for P-A-S and S. And here's what the P-A is. Look back again at 2 Chronicles. I'm going to read verses 2 and 3. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria. And they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is En Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Look at what happened. They came, they said, Jehoshaphat, the enemy is coming. He is a great multitude. And what did Jehoshaphat do? He said, wait a minute. Look, can't you see I'm watching the game? Come back at halftime and then we'll talk about it. Is that what he did? No. Now, what did he do? He, paid attention to the threatening circumstances of his life. When the news came that there is a threat appearing on the horizon, Jehoshaphat paid attention and he reacted to the news with justified fear. The first thing that we need to do to make fear our servant and not our master is we need to pay attention to the threatening circumstances of our lives. You notice that the banister at the top of the stairs in your house is shaky. What do you need to do? You need to pay attention. Amen. There's a smell of gas in your house when you come in after work. What do you need to do? Just go on, go to bed and go to sleep. Now, what do you need to do? You need to pay attention. Just make it a little bit more serious, maybe. You start having chest pains. Now, men, come on. Can we be honest for a moment? How many of us as men like going to the doctor? Let me just see. I don't see any hands here. Because what usually happens with men, we start getting stuff going on in our bodies. What do we say? I can handle it. Amen. And by the time our wives finally drag us down to the doctor's office, she has to stop by the mortuary on the way to make arrangements. We need to what? Pay attention. And praise God, many times those things will turn out not to be a real issue. But guess what? I have learned that you need to pay attention to the potential adverse circumstances that come into your life. Let's make it even a little bit more serious than a heart attack. You start noticing over a period of time that your husband or your wife just doesn't seem to be as happy and as joyful as they have been. And you're not aware of anything that's wrong, but you can see a trend, you can see a pattern over a period of time. They're just not reacting to you the same way that they have. Guess what? You need to pay attention. Amen. You need to pay attention. You don't want to sit there going, well, I'm sure she'll get over it. Amen. She might not get over it. She might get out. Amen. You need to pay attention. You need to start asking God, what do I need to do to make sure that my wife, my husband, is not experiencing something that's going to destroy our relationship? Or here's one that's very much today. Your kids start exhibiting some of the behavioral characteristics that could indicate involvement in drugs. And what do many parents say? Oh, not my Johnny. Oh, Johnny would never do that. No, you need to what? Pay attention. You see, God gave us that fear reaction to motivate us to move on circumstances that are potentially threatening to our lives or the lives of those we love. Number one, we need to pay attention. Go over to Proverbs chapter 27, verse 12. Look at this. Proverbs 27:12. A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. The simple pass on and are punished. Do you catch what that verse is saying? A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. The simple pass on and are punished. In other words, if you are simple-minded, you don't pay it any attention, you just keep on going, and guess what? You will be punished. Can I take a poll here today? How many of us consider ourselves to be prudent? Let me just see. Or maybe I ought to ask, how many of us know what prudent means? All right. It means that we handle the affairs of our lives with foresight and with wisdom. Amen? Anybody here prudent? Now, the opposite of prudent is, what does the verse say? Simple. And in today's vernacular, we would say simple-minded. Amen? How many of us here want to raise our hands to admit to being simple-minded? Let me put my hand down. How many of us want to raise our hands to be simple-minded? No, what does the scripture say? God expects us to be prudent. He expects us to pay attention. He doesn't expect us to be the simple one that sees a potential danger in our path and just keeps on going, blasé attitude, well, it'll all work out. Has anybody found out that things don't always just work out in life? You got to do something to get them on track, and God has given us the ability to do that. Amen? And so, number one, we have to pay attention. I learned it the hard way. Some of you have heard this story before, but I learned it the hard way. I was driving, when I was living in Colorado, I was driving to back east here, and along the way, remember my story about being out on the ice and getting turned around, going 55 miles an hour on the ice and running off the road? Anybody remember that story? No. All right, thank you. Amen. Well, when that happened and I ran off the road, apparently it didn't seem like there was anything, any damage to the car. But apparently what happened was it loosened up a cap or a screw or something on the oil system of the car. And I got into the state of Virginia and my oil light came on. Now at that time, I was a little bit younger than I am now. A little bit younger and a whole lot more stupid. I saw that red light come on. I didn't know what it meant. All I saw was it said oil. Amen? And so I'm driving along there and the oil light is on and you know I'm saying, well, I don't know what it means. It's going to be all right. And suddenly I start hearing these clanking noises. Clank, 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 clank. This alerted me. Something is going on here. And just about the time that I was reaching for the ignition to turn the motor off because it had finally got my attention, it gave one final clank and stopped. Guess what? That was $1,200 for a new engine right there. Amen. And why? Because when the oil light came on to indicate there was a dangerous circumstance going on in my life, what did I do? I did not pay it any attention. I said, it's all going to work out fine. Amen. Amen. Guess what? God has not promised to pull you out of fires that you start yourself because you don't pay attention.
This is Pastor Franklin. Thanks for listening to Covenant Living Today. This broadcast is an outreach of Covenant Community Church. We're a young congregation where the focus is on teaching the Word of God with clarity and integrity so that our members not only understand the Word, but know how to put it to work in their lives on a day-by-day basis. And because we're young, we have some great opportunities to serve. Perhaps you're looking for a church where you can both learn the Word and serve the Lord. If so, why not come and visit with us? Our worship services start at 10:30 every Sunday morning. Plus, we have Bible study every Wednesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Covenant Community Church is located at 1745 Dairy Street in Harrisburg. And if you'll come to the corner of 18th and Derry or 18th and Berry Hill, you can't miss our building. For more information or directions, or for a CD of today's message, please give us a call at area code 717-232-5299. That's 232-5299. Or visit our website at covcomchurch.org. That's covcomchurch.org. This is Pastor Ron Franklin, inviting you to be listening for our next broadcast of Covenant Living Today.